Can you feel his presence this morning? That time of worship. Wow. We need to reach out to the Lord, you know, because he wants to pour out to us this morning all that we need to take home with us. And the Lord's got more for us than we can ever imagine. Isn't that wonderful? And we've been thinking about hearing God's voice, how your Heavenly Father wants to speak to you, and how he wants to communicate with you, and how that prayer is a relationship, and, you know, the Lord wants us to be more and more intimate. And then yesterday we were thinking as well again about the Father's love for you, and that we all need an experience of that love. We don't just need to know it in our heart, our heads, that God loves us, but we need to live in a continual outpouring of God's love towards. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us not just to experience it one time. You know, we have these moments where the Lord comes and it's just like incredible. But he wants us to live in a continual stream and outpouring of the awareness and the knowledge of that love that he has for us as an individual. And you kind of think, well, you know, I'm a prayer. Isn't that being kind of selfish that I just concentrate on that? No, because it's in that place that we know our sonship. And in that place of our sonship and being aware of our sonship, our being a son or a daughter of God, that it's from that place that God wants us to intercede. You know, we can intercede in such a different way once we've got an understanding of who we are in Jesus and how much he loves us, and we live in that. So we've been building a foundations really this weekend to coming on to what we're thinking about this morning is, you know, how does being a son or a daughter and how does being aware of my Father's love affect my prayer life? Because it inevitably will affect my prayer life. So let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from verse 5. Wonderful, wonderful passage. I just love Ephesians. I love all the Bible, but this is probably one of my favorite books because there's so much truth and beautiful stuff in it, okay? Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and union with Christ. It is by grace that you are saved and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us to sit down, give us joint seating with him. Listen to that. Giving us joint seating with him. Wow. In the heavenly places. Wow. By virtue of being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one. So whilst we are living on this earth and subject to all that that means, in the same time, we are also seated in heavenly places. And let's just think about that for a moment. How would that affect us if we really, really started to believe that and really started to walk in that? Actually, at the one and the same time, you are here on this earth, but you are actually seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So we're going to be thinking about that. In this, you can't quite see the picture here, but it's like a stairs up to a doorway, and there's Jesus up in the corner, very, very vaguely there, and it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." So let's go on to the next slide. Our inheritance, our identity in Christ, my identity as a son, as a daughter of the living God, is that here I am now seated in heavenly places. That's part of who I am. I'm on earth, but I'm also in heaven. It's weird, isn't it, when you think about it? I'm living on earth, but I'm also living in heaven because, you know, I am in Christ. Christ is in me. Christ is in heaven. So that's where I am too. Let's go on to the next. It's a fact. So we need to get in hold of that. So let's think about that. You see, very often we are surrounded and encompassed in by our own perceptions from life. We don't realize that this is the truth about us as sons and daughters. And really, in terms of what it means to be seated in Christ, we need to ask the Lord to renew our minds. Because many of us have got mindsets that keep us bound in where we are in heaven and on earth. We need a renewed mind, and we need revelation in our hearts and spirits and bodies. When I lived in Guildford with Nick for 7 years, I ran what was called the Guildford Prayer School. It was like a cross church gathering, very free in the spirit, very prophetic sort of gathering of mostly women who prayed for the city. And I took over from a lady that had been doing it faithfully for many years, and they'd literally prayer walked every street in the city, I think, of Guildford for 7 years. And they'd been up to every high place where things had gone on in the opposite way to the way we'd like to go. All the occult places they'd been, and they'd prayed and they dealt with stuff. And we took over and we were praying and interceding for the pastors and joining with the pastors and getting together with them. Incidentally, I don't know who it was, but I heard somebody pray the other morning about unity amongst their leaders in their town, or speak about it at some point. Just let me say this little bit of word of advice. The way to reach the pastors of your town is through their stomachs. We found giving them a lovely meal and loving on them and giving them a space where they could be open and just talk about what they needed to talk about with one another was the way to build up relationship and fellowship. So we used to find, as you know, a group of intercessors. You know what it's like with pastors and intercessors, because there's always this thing where, you know, the pastors have been worn out by the intercessors coming to them. You know, God is saying this and God is saying that. And, you know, to be quite frank, a lot of us have not been very kind in the way we've done that at times, or been very gracious about it. And there is sometimes a gap between those that pray and the leadership of the church. And so we found in Guildford the best way is to just love on people and get to know them and win their trust through just serving them. And it really made a difference. Anyway, we were in this prayer school. We'd meet once a week, and we'd spend time just as we have been this morning, and then we would pray very hard for our city. We prayed very hard. Oh, we did, for a number of years. And then the Lord just said to us one time, just stop. Just stop it. Stop it. It was like, oh, you know, stop it. And we said, what? And he said, I just want you to worship me. So all we could do for 6 months, every time we met, was to worship the Lord. And we met and we worshipped him. And then we asked him what we needed to pray about. And he said, I don't want you to keep kind of asking for things like this. He said, but I do want you to realize who you are as daughters, because we were mostly daughters of the king, and I do want you to start declaring out over the city what you would love to see. You know, what are the blessings that you would like this city to have? And we started to do that. And instead of praying in a kind of a pleading way with God, we were praying much more in a kind of, Lord, would you do this? And we want to proclaim this over this part of the city, and this over this school, and this over this church. And do you know, we started to see the city change as we prayed from that place. And the Lord really, you know, but basically he had to tell us to shut up first. And I think sometimes with our prayers we can get, it's almost like duty bound. And, you know, that's a very good phrase, isn't it? Duty bound to pray. And the Lord is wanting us actually to recognize, like we were talking about yesterday with the whole blessing thing, to recognize who we are as priests and God, that we can speak out positive blessing over our communities, not through anything of ourselves, but because we are priests of the Most High God and we are seated in the heavenly realms. And our words, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, I just, you know, sometimes I'm in worship and I get blown away when I think, you know, I've got the creator of the whole of the universe living in me. Wow. Every now and then it kind of hits me, you know, wow, that is incredible. But because of that, our words have creative power. So we can speak out stuff over our city and see it come to pass. That is why, brothers and sisters, we have to be so careful over our words. Don't speak out cursing, speak out blessing. Your words have creative power. Let's go on to the next slide. Why is this important to understand this? I just love that picture. Reminds me of the whole prodigal thing, and it's wonderful. That we would understand why he has placed us in the heavenly realms. Well, firstly, it's just the will of the Father through his grace. And it's part of who he wants us to be. And out of that place, knowing that we are seated in heavenly realms, we can have the sort of childlike faith as we pray that the Lord wants us to have. I was in our church. When I'm preaching at our church, I try and get there early. We have all sorts of groups meeting on our premises, and we need to have a good old clean out, to be frank, every time. And so I normally try and get there about half an hour early before anybody's arrived to do anything. And I get all the flags, and I put the worship on, and I have a good old march around our church and pray. And the other Sunday, I found myself, this was just 2 weeks ago, joined by an 11-year-old and a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old had seen me do it and decided that marching around the church with flags was a good idea. But you know what? Why are we doing this, Linda? And I said, well, we're asking for Jesus to come this morning. And my goodness, should you have heard the prayers they were praying? They had such power. You know, Jesus, come and heal. Jesus, come and deliver us. Jesus, your blood has saved us. And I was just astounded. And they're just marching around with with the flags behind. We had fun doing that. You know, our prayer, even though we're praying very serious things, doesn't have to be negative and boring. We can have fun with prayer because we're with our Father. And he loves us. And here we can have a childlike faith. You heard the words coming out of these kids, and you thought, my word, you know, I know God's got to answer that. Listen to that. Listen to the way it's come out. Listen to the faith behind those words from those little ones. So I was excited at that service, and we had a good service that morning after those kids had been in and prayed around the place. And they're saying to me, Linda, this is fun. Can we come and do it again? And I said, yes, please. It was great. Let's go on to the next slide. What does this mean, really, then, for our lives? It means that when we pray, even when we're praying in a place when it's a battle, we're praying, we stand and we fight, we know we're praying from a place of victory. We have victory over the enemy. We have victory over the power of sin and death and disease because of our union with Christ in his death and his resurrection. We are therefore more than overcomers as we pray. Yeah, let's get that into your minds as you pray. You know, sometimes we're very, very hesitant in the way we put things before our Father. And he's told us we're to boldly come. And sometimes I find myself praying things, you know, and I've had experiences where the Lord's saying to me, Linda, after a while of me talking, he'll say something like, Linda, what exactly are you asking me to do here? You know, would you be specific? I need to know what you really would like me to do. And we need to understand our relationship that we can be specific and we can be directive and we can ask the Lord for exactly what we want, because we are in union with Christ. You know, we are praying, aren't we? We're praying through the Holy Spirit. He's helping us and he's directing us. And praying in that way is not being selfish and it's not being, you know, cheeky with God. It's just praying from the place where God has placed you in the Spirit and understanding that. So let's go on to the next slide. Yeah, being seated in the heavenly realms, we all know this, is a place of authority. You know, Jesus sat down in the heavenly places, and, you know, from there he rules. And the whole imagery of being seated is in the heavenly realms, in the throne room. You know, here is the authority of Jesus. And what he's saying with that is, you are with him in that. I mean, wow. You are with him in that authority because you are in him and he is sat down in that place of authority in heaven. This has got to change the way you pray, guys. We've been given the keys of the kingdom, the Lord has told us. Keys are for... What do you use keys for? You use keys for opening doors. You use keys for getting from one place to another. You use keys for breaking from one place to another. So, you know, the Lord has told us that he's given us the keys. He's given us the keys. We found in our prayer sometimes, you know, we're asking God to do things and he'll turn around and say, no, you do it. I've given you the authority here. You do this. You know, oh Lord, would you bring? No, you do it. So, you know, let's understand the authority that we've been given. Let's go on to the next slide. Yeah, this is a place of rest. Take my yoke upon you, my burden upon you, and I will give you rest. Rest is an amazing place to be in with God. Where inside in your spirit, you're just at peace. You know, everything might be happening all around you, but you can still know that place of rest. And then when you pray from a place of rest, it takes all the striving out of it. You know, I'm not talking about taking the passion out of your prayer. I'm talking about taking that striving out of it, where almost we feel like we have this mindset sometimes where we feel we've got to pray enough to get past this sense that we've got to somehow appease God before he'll answer us. If I pray enough, he'll answer me. And it's like he's up there reluctantly looking at us and saying, well, they keep praying about that. Oh, and they're praying about it again. Oh, no, they're praying. I'm going to have to answer them in a minute. Oh, no. And he's not like that. He's longing to answer our prayers. He's longing to give us all that we need for his kingdom to come. And we need to pray from that inner understanding that, you know, we can pray from a place of rest. It's a sense where we know that God's already done everything needed for this prayer to be answered. And all we're doing is kind of accessing what God has already done. It's a place where God's vision comes with his provision. Sorry, I hate all those preachers type of things, but God's vision comes with his provision. So if God's given me a vision for something in the church and I'm praying into some new thing we're doing or something like that, and I know that it's a thing that the Lord's put in my heart, then if I'm praying for it, then I know that he's going to give me or our church everything we need for that to happen, for that to come about. Sometimes we pray and it's like God shows us something, a vision, then it's almost like we feel like we've got to twist his arm to get what we need for it, right? And it's not like that at all. If he's given you a vision, he'll give you the provision. I sometimes say to God, you know, when we're praying about issues, about things that he's placed in our heart, and it's getting hard to sometimes get the breakthrough, and I usually say to him, God, this is your baby. You know, come on, we need some stuff for this, the baby to grow. So, yeah, it's playing from that place. So let's go into the next slide. Yes, the heavenly realms, seated in the heavenly places. If I'm a son or a daughter, it's a place of worship. And from that place of worship, we gain God's perspective. And we see with his eyes. That's why it's always so important, in my understanding, to mix worship and prayer together. because we must have our eyes on Jesus. We must realize how enormously, wonderfully powerful he really is, that this God that we're coming to as we pray. And very often we enter into times of prayer, and if we haven't come in through a place of worship, sometimes our mindsets, in our own minds, sometimes God can be so small. And the problem that we're praying about can be so big. And we end up praying more, you know, thinking about the problem than we are thinking about God. And then we'll get the answer through the problem, not from God. You know, it's important that we have our perspective. And if we're praying from heaven to earth, it means we're looking at everything that God has provided for us and given to us, that we might receive all that we need for this answer to prayer. And, you know, there is so much waiting for us. There's so much fruit and there's so much blessing that your Father longs to pour out. There's, you know, the thing that I love, and one of the many things I love about the Christian walk, and no way is it boring. I mean, you know, it's incredible. But one of the wonderful things about it is there's always more. There's always more grace. There's always more love. There's always more peace. There's always more experiences of God to have. There's always more adventure to have with the Lord. There's always more. And sometimes we get stuck in our own confines because we kind of think, well, this must be, you know, this must be the level to which God has brought me, and that's it. And we lose that sense of pushing through to the more that he has for each one of us. And there is more for each one of us. Wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, wherever you are in the sense of God using you, there's always more to be experienced. And that is the wonderful thing, and we'll never get to the end of it because his love is infinite and there is no end. Hey, we'll never understand God fully. There's always more grace. You know, there's always more. So, you know, let's have our hearts open for the more. And let's not say, you know, God, I want you to do this in my life, but I don't want that gift. You better not give me that gift. So, you know, how would you feel if you had this wonderful thing you wanted to give to somebody you love very much? And you came up to them and they said, well, I'll take that, but I'm not having that. And you know that that's that gift that you were giving them was the best thing that you could give them for that time, you know. I love my kids, my sons, very much, and I try and give them, when we give them, what will be good for them. It's not always what they think is good for them, but it's what, you know, but there's always more. So if we're praying from that place of worship, we're kind of looking down on the problem from the heavenly realms where Jesus is, or the situation. And boy, oh boy, are you seeing a lot more clearly from that place. And boy, oh boy, are you getting things in the right perspective? Because, you know, the massive problem that you see it from the earth just looks like nothing when you look at it from heaven's perspective. And that's how the Lord wants us to see. He wants us to live from heaven to earth and not the other way around. I don't know if any of you have ever read that great book by Bill Johnson. If you haven't, it's another book you need to get. Boy, you're going to be spending a lot of money on books, right? It's called When Heaven Invades Earth. And it's all about learning to live not from earth to heaven, but from heaven to earth. So I'm learning to live as a Christian. I'm walking in my walk, not having an earthly perspective, but having a heavenly perspective and seeing things from that angle. There is a phrase that goes around that says, some people are too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Let me say this to you. You can never be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. The more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you're going to be. Because the more you understand who you are in Christ, the more you realize all he's done for you, the more you experience of his love, the more it's going to pour out of the world. You can never be so caught up in God that God can't use you down here. Because the more caught up you are in God, the more open you are to his love and the more it pours out. It's one of these kind of legalistic, worldly mindsets that we get into, where, oh, these people who spend all their times, you know, they just spend all their time in prayer and they don't do anything. Let me tell you, in every church that I've been in, and I've been in a lot through our 20 whatever it is years of ministry, it's the folk in the prayer group that do a lot of the stuff. You can't be so heavenly minded, you're not earthly good. Just doesn't work like that. And the more heavenly minded you are, the more that God opens you up, pours in his wonderful gifts into your life, and allows you to use them. Some of us need to say sorry to God when we thought that about people in the church. We're a royal priesthood. Yeah. It's our duty, well, not our duty, it's our joy, sorry, to worship our wonderful Saviour. And we have the joy as sons and daughters of God. Oh, I always get so amazed by this, of being able to minister to the Lord. We can minister to the Lord. And you know what? When 2001, I was going to go on a journey into Rwanda to do a mission trip, and I took a certain anti-malaria tablet, and I ended up instead in the CCU with a blood pressure of 250 over 100 and something. They had to stop my heart 4 times during that time, which was interesting when you're wide awake and they're saying, "What? We're going to stop your heart and we don't know if it's going to start again." and the Lord sent, every time it happened, a spirit-filled nurse who came and prayed with me in tongues. 4 occasions, each time it happened. And I had an angel at the bottom of my bed. I could see him. I had a visit from a child who spent the whole time staring at my bottom of my bed during the time that they were visiting me. And I said, "You can see him, can't you?" And this little girl says, "Yes. Big angel at the bottom of your bed." You need angels when you're in that position. And there I was. And during the 3 months afterwards, I had a lot of chest pain and I couldn't do a lot. All I could do was like worship. I couldn't even pray. Didn't have the energy to do anything, so I just prayed. Because my pulse was also doing something like 160 and they couldn't stop it and, you know, whatever. Anyway, I'm here. By God's grace, I'm alive, right? So I was there and I said to the Lord, "What is the pain on your heart?" Because I was getting chest pain and I was just trying to talk into me. And he said, "I've got many people who come to me and they ask me for things." And that's fine. He said, "But Linda, I've got very few friends. Will you be my friend?" See, God wants friends. We can minister to God. We can minister to his heart with our friendship. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing thing. That as a son or a daughter, you can bless God with your communion with him and your fellowship with him. And doesn't that just turn everything round about when we think about coming to him? We always think we're coming to him so that he can do something for us, right? If you just feel, yeah, this is a two-way thing here. Friendships are two-way. I've got lovely friends and, you know, they bless me. And they're there for me. And they've got friends I can say anything to. And that's just a joy. But, you know, in as much as they bless me, I'm really praying I can bless them too. Because it's a two-way relationship. Friendship is a two-way thing. So when God says, "I don't call you servants, I call you friends." We have this picture of God, you know, and oh, yeah, but he's so up there. But he's saying, "No, you, with your love and with your worship, and especially with your obedience, you can minister to me too. You can be my friend." That changes prayer life completely. Let's go on to the next slide. Yes, it's a place of your kingdom come where we partner with the Holy Spirit In that part, you know, he taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, when we're seated in the heavenly realms with Christ, we can understand more, and we understand more of what it is to live there. We begin to see more clearly what actually his will is that he wants to do on earth. So therefore, we can partner with him more in it because we get a clearer vision. We get a clearer revelation of that. Let's go on to the next slide. How does this affect my prayer life then? Let's look up Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, and recognize, or have knowledge of, or understanding of. God wants to share with us his revelation, his heart. We need to spend time with him to get that revelation. We often use this phrase, Lord, I want to pray in tune with your heartbeat. And somebody said to me something the other week, and it just has stayed with me for ever since. And it's this. He said this. He was preaching at our church, and he said, I don't want to pray in tune with God's heartbeat. I want to pray from inside his heart. And I thought, yeah, that is exactly how I would like to pray. Not from kind of being detached from him and just trying to sense how he is, but from recognizing that I am in him and he is in me, and therefore I'm praying from right inside his heart. And I share with you a couple of the pictures that the Lord had graciously given me about just two of the places in his heart. His heart is an amazing place. But, you know, praying from inside that place where we, because we're joined and we're in union with him, we can pray with his compassion, with his priorities, because he knows exactly what needs to be prayed about. I'm not a praying to appease God, but I'm in tune with his Holy Spirit. Us evangelicals have for so many years, sometimes prayer verges on being a bit of a duty for us. Because we know, we're the ones that need to be doing it, the whole thing. And God wants us to get us out of that place to where prayer is a joy. And prayer is just this whole fellowship with him. Let's go on to the next slide. Oh, this absolutely blows me away. As a son or a daughter of God, we have access to the counsel of God. This is what it says in Jeremiah 23 and verse 18, and then verse 22. Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and has listened? And then he goes on after a couple of verses to say, but if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil ways and from the evil of their deeds. The fact is, as a son or a daughter of God in your prayer life, you have access to the counsel of God. Wow. The Almighty God who made everything. You have access to that place. Let's go into the next slide, which is too small, I know, sorry. I just use it for notes to speak from. We need the counsel of the Lord so that fruit is produced in our lives and then in the lives of others. We need to walk in that holiness and repentance and the fear of the Lord so that we can stand in the place of his counsel. But the word for his counsel is cowed, which means a session, the Hebrew word, it means a session, or it means a company of people in close deliberation. So as you're praying and as you're seeking his counsel, can you imagine like the picture in heaven? There is God the Father and Jesus. And he's just saying, just come here. You know how you do in a meeting, you need to gather with the people to decide what's going to go on. And, you know, I just want to show you about this situation. I just want to show you. So come and listen. Come and listen to my counsel over this. And we, amazing as it is, can stand with the Lord in his counsel and listen to what he's got to say. And he wants you to know those things. God's looking for those who he can share his counsel with, his secrets with. Will you be one of those people? Will you be one of those people? In Amos 3:7 it says this, "Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets." And we, you know, when we read that, we kind of think, oh, that's Ezekiel and Obadiah and all that lot. It doesn't mean me. But, you know, when the Lord has come by his Spirit, he has given us that spirit of revelation, of understanding and of prophecy, which means just to speak forth, doesn't it? His words, and to foretell his things from his heart. So he's looking for those he can share his secrets with. And then he's also saying this, he doesn't do anything without letting his prophets know what's going on. I mean, that's you and me. Get that into your head. It's not that really spiritual person in the church. That's just you and me, because we are sons and daughters, right? He wants to share his secrets with you. He's asking you if you want to be partakers of that. He's chosen to work this way because he's chosen to work in friendship. He doesn't need to work that way. We know he's God, he's Almighty God, but this is the way through his grace that he's chosen to work in. He's given us, man, dominion over the earth. And he wants to share his counsel with us, to give us the wisdom to have that dominion on the earth and to know what to do on the earth and how to be servant-hearted leaders and gracious people that show forth his love. But we do that from the place of being in his counsel, knowing his secrets and understanding his wisdom, so that when we're praying not the way our brain thinks we ought to pray in that situation, but we're praying from his wisdom over that situation, which is an altogether different thing. Because sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, you can be praying about a situation and you think you know the reason why this situation has occurred, and you're praying in a certain way, and actually the real reason why that thing is happening is way different. And the Lord sometimes would just put his highlight on that and say, no, it's not that, it's this, and I need you to pray about that. And we so need that wisdom and that counsel. And here is this invitation saying, will you come and stand in my counsel? Will you stop thinking you're not worthy enough to do this, guys, because you are my sons and daughters. And I think sometimes we can hurt the heart of the Father. Because it's not that we hurt him intentionally, but we hurt him by our lack of faith in believing who he's made us to be. We hurt him by our unbelief, where we can't believe that can't actually mean me, surely. And the fact is, he's done everything for us to be sons and daughters. He's declared us sons and daughters, and we are still holding back and saying, oh, well, you can't mean me. I think that hurts the Father, you know. And I certainly feel that grieves the Spirit. When you sit in your unworthiness and your lack of esteem about it all, and you persuade yourself that it doesn't mean you, when actually he's just standing there with gifts and wisdom and everything he wants to pour out on us, and we've not got our hands up to receive it because we're spending all our energy thinking, you know, we don't deserve this. He wants you to get out of that mindset and to understand who you are. You might not feel like that right now, but the truth of the scripture is that's where God has placed you. It's about time you start to learn to walk in it. You can choose that. You can choose to spend the whole of your life not living in that if you want. I just don't want you to get to heaven and look back and think, oh, I wish I'd started walking in that when I was still on the earth. We've got so much waiting for us in God. If we'd only step into what he's already done for us, if we'd only start walking in what he's already achieved, he has already achieved these things. This, as a son and a daughter, is your inheritance. You need to start getting free inside by believing it. It's not something he will do, it's something he has already done. It's like people that struggle a lot with sin in certain areas. And we need to start believing the truth where it says, sin no longer has dominion over me. It doesn't mean I don't sin. It just means that it hasn't got the power to keep me boxed in like it used to be before I was in Christ. Because in him the power has been broken. The power of death and sin. It's lost its dominion. We sing it in our hymns, but we don't believe it in our hearts. And God is saying this morning, will you step up into where I've already placed you? It's like somebody who's ran the Olympics and won the gold medal but doesn't want to get up on the podium to receive it. How silly would that be? Oh, I'm sorry. You know, it wasn't really me. It was him. Yeah, but have you got the film saying that, well, actually, it was me that won it, but I'm not going to stand up there and receive it. So are you going to get up on the podium today, and are you going to say, yes, I want to receive everything that is true about me because I am a son or a daughter of the living God, and how that will affect my prayer life? I'm willing to receive the truth about that in my spirit. I don't necessarily understand it all, but I do understand that you've already achieved all this for me. And I'm willing, whatever it means, to step into that place. Help. You know, that's the sort of prayer we should need to pray. God understands our lack of understanding about these things, and sometimes it's not until you actually step into it, that place, that the revelation of all of it starts to actually fall into place for you. It's a bit like Abraham, really. You know, it's not until he actually stepped out and left behind what he needed to leave behind that he could move into the promises. So here's this place in God and this place in prayer, and God is saying, will you step into it? Will you? I've already done it for you. Don't stand out there boxed in. So anyway, God has chosen this way, and we also have an understanding from the Bible. This again is something that blows me away, that the announced and intention and counsel of God can sometimes be altered by our intercession. Oh, wow. You think about Abraham. You think about Sodom and Gomorrah, and God was going to wipe it out. And Abraham got into like this negotiation thing, didn't he? Well, what if there's 50 people that follow you? What if there's only 20? What if there's 10? And because he was in a relational relationship with God, and because he was his friend, he was able to affect the intended counsel of God over a situation. I mean, those sort of truths just... they're too much for your mind, aren't they? All you've got to say is, I don't understand that, but wow, God. Let's go on to the next slide. Okay, this is what the Lord says. Now, If we're going to be people that move in the prophetic and the revelation of God, and I'm not going to go through these issues, I just want you to go home and put in your notes, read Jeremiah 23. Because in Jeremiah 23 are all the warnings about what we are not to do with the revelation of God when we get it, and how we are to operate, really, in the prophetic. It's a very good and very sobering chapter. But this is what it says. The perverse are abomination to the Lord, but his confidential communion and his secret counsel are with the righteous and those who are in right standing with him. The secret counsel of the Lord. We can know those hidden secrets of the Lord. And then that's in Proverbs 3:32. And then it says this in Psalm 25 and verse 14. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship. Wow. Of the Lord have they who fear and worship him, and he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. Wow, what a verse. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear and worship him, and he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. Do you want the Lord to do that for you in your life? How amazing. A secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship. That's the key in that verse.
Is that the Amplified?
Yes. That's in the Amplified Bible. Now, let's have the last slide. If you've got a heart to pray for your nation, if you've got a heart to pray for your church, your village, your community, how hungry are you to know the counsel of the Lord for those places and for your nation? I hope you've understood you can know the counsel of the Lord. You can be in a place of praying from that. Not from our heads, but from the revealed wisdom that God gives us. And that has got to change our prayer life to being from us focused to God focused. And as a son or a daughter, I'm praying from the heavenly places and not from the earth. Over the next few weeks and days, ask the Lord to reveal to you more about what it means to be a son and daughter and how that affects your prayer life. But let's be those that pursue God for the secret counsel, his secret counsel for our nation. The church needs to rise up into that place right now as sons and daughters. It's our duty to rise up into that place right now as sons and daughters, because if not us, then who? You know, we are his sons and daughters. We pray, you know, Lord, give the church a voice. But, you know, we need to hear that voice from the Lord first. If it's not us listening for that, then who will do it? So all this understanding about who you are as sons and daughters, and that your daddy loves you, it's so important, because it's got to affect your understanding of who you are, and affecting and knowing who you are will change your prayer life completely and turn it upside down until it's on its head. And God needs to do that so that he can reveal to us his counsel. Lady that I have seen many times ministering, and in fact we were with her in Cyprus ministering, is a lady called Heidi Baker. I don't know if every of you heard of her, a lady in Mozambique who works amongst the orphans and in their ministry. She's got a degree, a doctorate in theology, very clever lady, so is her husband. But they minister amongst the poorest of the poor, and they've seen many, many, many thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to know the Lord, and they've seen many churches birthed. If you want to look it up, look up Iris Ministries on a website. They, in their ministry, are training indigenous church leaders. They've planted something like 8,000 churches in the last few years as the Lord's Spirit has been pouring out over there. And they've been seeing every miracle that you ever heard about in the Bible, from food multiplying to blind eyes opening. I'm talking about going to a village and every blind person being saved is healed. And therefore whole villages of Muslim villages come into the Lord. I'm talking about people being healed of deafness and people coming to the Lord. And they have seen over 100 people raised from the dead and in that ministry. Now, she went to the church in Toronto we were talking about one time, and the Lord came on her very powerfully, and she found herself, it would look mad, standing on her head. And she was there for hours at the front. She said she was so grateful she had a pair of trousers on. But the Lord had to stand on her head, and she thought, why on earth? You know, she's standing on her head because the Lord's Spirit told her to do it or got her into that place. And at the same time, she's having this conversation, why is this going on? And he said, but I have to turn everything around. You have to turn upside down in order to be right side up. And in our thinking about our prayer and who we are in Christ and who we are as sons and daughters of God, we need to perhaps turn upside down in order to be right side up. Let's get rid of all those boxes, all those bits of unworthiness and, oh, but this is true about everybody else but not about me stuff that goes on in our hearts. And we're going to have a little prayer time about that right now. And then maybe a song before we come towards 11 o'clock, 15. Heidi Baker. She's written a whole lot of books. It's Iris Ministries. If ever you get, she comes to this nation, if ever you get to a chance to go listen to her, you need to do that. I've never seen anybody for ministering in the Holy Spirit like she does. But let's come to a time of prayer now. And we need to deal with some of these issues about this sense of unworthiness, about entering into what God has already done for you. We need to get rid of some of these fears, and we need to get rid of some of this reluctance that we have to actually believe that what is true is actually true. And we need to ask the Lord to take us into that place where we can know the counsel of the Lord for our nation. Oh, God needs us in that. He does. I'm not saying he can't work without us. That would be silly. But he needs our friendship and our companionship because he wants to work with us that way. So let's pray. And we want to say thank you to God because, Father God, it is true that in Christ we are seated in the heavenly places with you. For in that place of authority. And Father God, many of us in our mindset struggle with that whole concept because we just can't believe that you actually mean us. I mean, you might mean that lovely spiritual minister we've got or whatever, but it can't surely mean me because I know me. So, Father, I'm just want to say sorry to you that I've allowed my own, at times, my own sense of unworthiness to allow me to actually walk in what you've already done in my life. Forgive me, Father. Please deal with the roots of those things in my life. And Father, help me to enter in and access all that you've already done for me in Christ Jesus. Help me to start living in it in such a way that it turns my prayer life upside down. Because actually the focus gets off of me and onto you. It's all off of my inadequacies to know how to pray. It's off of my not understanding how to pray in that situation or what to do, but it's entirely on you and who you are. So Jesus, we kind of need you to turn us on our heads, I think. And we need you to walk us out of here with an assurance of who we are as your sons and daughters and what that actually means and how that is actually going to affect the way we pray. And Father, it's an amazing thing to think that we can stand in your counsel and you can show us. In fact, you even want to show us the secrets of your heart. And we realize that our nation needs those right now who will stand in your counsel, who will receive your counsel to know how to pray for this nation that's in desperate trouble. We love our nation, Father. We love our nation. We want to see your blessing in our nation. And we want to
give a little chance to find the song we're going to sing. Lord, we long for you to move in power. You know, we're crying out, aren't we, for God to come and touch this nation. That's part of the reason we're here, is to pray for revival. So let's stand, shall we, to our feet. We've been sitting for a while. Let's stand.